Hello and welcome to a joint podcast between Mushing and Dogworks Radio. This is Robert, and we are recording an episode at the One World Canine Obstacle Course Challenge in Anniston, Alabama. Let's kick it off.
Serving the universe from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. This is Mushing, brought to you by First Paw Media. Let's hit the trail.
I am here with Jennifer Carter from Virginia. Jennifer, tell us who you are and what you're all about, please.
Okay. Well, as you know, Jennifer Carter is my name. My dog's name is Luce, and we are here at the obstacle course race here in Alabama. This is a particularly exciting race for us because it comes at the end of a very long, year-long rehabilitation after an injury for Luce.
So we're going to talk about that in just a second. Can you set the stage for us a little bit? You've driven a little bit of a ways to get here. You're camping right down the road, I assume. So tell us why you're here and why this event.
Well, I started coming to this event because I started doing Canicross, which is just running with your dog on a trail race, and I got hooked. And then I learned about this kind of team effort, and I thought to myself, well, why not us? So we came here the first time, and it was in May. It was our first time. And it was the original canine biathlon at the time. And we had a blast. It challenged us in ways unimaginable, really had us working as a team. And then we were hooked on this. So we came back subsequently in fall to do the rewind, was where they do it backwards. And we kept coming because we couldn't get enough. And it really isn't done hardly anywhere.
Nope.
So the thing I like about this race, this particular venue, it's very thoughtful. The obstacles are both natural and man-made, but the man-made ones are super fun. They're not contrived, and it's safe. Paul runs a very, very safe race, and I feel comfortable here. I feel like my dog's safe. I'm safe. And so that's why we keep supporting it.
I spoke with Paul earlier in the race, and a heck of a nice guy. I met him a couple of years ago as well. I understand he started this race after he was doing these in the British military way back in 1990. So here we are, 2025, and it's going. I mean, I think 600 people or something like that were registered for this. It is a huge event, really in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. We're about, 30-ish miles from the freeway and probably about an hour and a half or so from Atlanta, but you come from Virginia, Central Virginia, right, to come on down here, and you're camping here. So this, yep, is a weekend event. Before we talk about your dog, tell us a bit about what you do. What do you do for a living? What are your hobbies? That sort of stuff.
Yeah. So thanks for asking. I am a canine nutritionist by trade. So I have my own company called Harness Canicular, and I do canine nutritional consultations for people. For people who have dogs that are struggling with nutritional issues, also healthy dogs that are trying to reach their peak potential. So I work with a real gamut of different types of dogs and the issues that they present. A lot of athletes, which is what we are. So that's why we're in that circle, right? I work from home normally, which makes it really easy for me to be on the road and be remote and come out to things like this and meet great people and talk about things. I also teach canine nose work. So I teach nose work part of the time and training a dog, and then I also teach Canicross clinics. So for people who want to start getting involved in this and have no idea where to go, then I teach them cues for their dogs and how to be safe and how to run and have a good team effort.
Well, I might have to have you back on about that canine nutrition stuff. I think that's a podcast episode all on its own, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be a cool episode for sure. So let's talk a little bit about your dog. Before we talk about the injury, what kind of dog is it? How old is it? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so Luce is an amazing hound mix. She's made up of six dogs, hound and herding mostly. She looks a little like a beagle. She stayed small, so she's about 32 pounds. The Sheltie and Beagle kept her small, and all the rest of the dogs that are in her are large dogs. She definitely, her face takes her everywhere as a hound, you know. And she's nine. She just turned nine in March. So she has been outside running and being very active. She is definitely an athletic dog. the kind of dog that needs a job. And so this is right up her alley.
You know, I was looking at all the different breeds. I think I counted 30 or 35 different purebred dogs that I recognized. This event runs the gamut. Yeah. Everything from a Chihuahua all the way up to like a Newfoundland mix.
Correct.
Huge dogs. I even saw a Pumi here, which is a very rare breed. And it's very cool to see all the different kind of dogs. But let's jump into your dog and the coming back from the injury. Tell us a little bit about the injury, because this is really a comeback story, right?
It really is. It couldn't be a more inspirational comeback story. August 2023, Luce was running in the front yard. She's a very athletic dog. We've been running trails for 8 years, and freak situation, she hurts herself, comes up lame in my front yard. I rush her to the vet because I knew it was not something to let go. And it was a Friday, and I didn't want to go to the emergency vet over the weekend just to make sure she didn't fracture something or whatever, and it turns out it was the knee. Long story short, she had torn her CCL, she tore her meniscus in two pieces, and she pulled her iliopsoas, all on the right rear leg. And it took my breath away. I knew what that meant, and that meant we weren't running. And I didn't even know if we could ever do it again. I don't know. I mean, I had an 8-year-old dog who's got a full-on injury that is debilitating for an athlete of any kind. And I thought to myself, okay, what am I going to do? So I was really being pressured to do surgery. I was. Everybody. Mostly because of her athleticism. Me wanting her to go back. But I didn't feel like it was right. So I made the decision myself. I'm a canine nutritionist, as I said earlier. I made the decision. I'm going to manage it conservatively. Surgery would be the last resort, not the first go-to. And I knew it was going to take 12 months. I knew that she would get to 98%, maybe not 100%, because a ligament doesn't regenerate. But scar tissue lays down, stabilizes the knee. I worked with 4 vets. It was a team effort. And I think her story is inspirational because here I am, May 2025. And we did come in the fall of 24, October for the Rewind. That was actually her first race back. But this race is more aggressive, I won't say, in May. I mean, the water was high. The mud was, you know,
a little hotter.
Oh, my gosh. It's hotter, yeah. Right? And there's a lot more people. And so there's a lot more to navigate. And here we are. So 12 months later, she has made a full recovery, was released from rehabilitation, and we're back in it. So I'm hoping that whoever is listening to this, if they do feel like they have that detrimental injury that's going to take their dog out of the running, don't count on it. And second part of this is not everything requires surgery. You know, the surgery is aggressive and it's very invasive. And on an 8-year-old dog, there are some side effects that can't be ignored. Not that I'm not pro-surgery, because I'm for whatever the dog needs. However, if somebody ever says to you, you can't do it conservatively, stand up and say, ask some few questions. Don't just take things at face value.
So I'm sure people are listening are probably thinking about an injury like this. And I know we have a lot of sports fans that listen. And you often hear about ACL tears and things like that with the NFL players. It's something similar, right?
It's so common. It is the most common in dogs, too. It is the single most orthopedic injury in dogs. Everybody either has a dog that's had it happen or knows somebody that has it happen. And I just want people to realize it's not the end of things.
Now, did you use that brace traction-looking thing? Is that what you used or something else?
I did use a brace. It was a tailored brace. It wasn't the cheapest brace on earth. I won't lie to you. However, she's not growing anymore, and she'll be able to wear it into oblivion. But it did help me to protect that knee when we were healing against twisting. That's the motion you don't want, is while the healing is happening, you don't want twists,
right.
Torsion to that knee, right?
Right?
So she can run in a straight line all day long. It's, you know, it's going through these creeks with all the rocks at the bottom that really make you, like, you know, take a deep breath. But the whole idea is to maximize mobility. You can't keep your dog in a crate for 12 months. You have to work through it. She did the water treadmill. We did acupuncture and laser and chiropractic. I mean, we did it. It wasn't cheaper the way that I went about it. However, here I am as a success story that my dog is able to still participate at 9 and is still wanting to leave the ground, which is, you know, most dogs, they give up that, you know, when they feel vulnerable.
Right.
They no longer want to do that. So, yeah.
It's a very cool story. So let's talk a little bit about today's event. This sort of is the comeback. I know you said you did the fall race, which I have done a couple of years ago. More family-oriented, trick-or-treat type stuff. They have a haunted house, all of that. But this is big time. It's 600 people, all sorts of awards. People from all over the country, all over the world are here. So let's talk about some of the obstacles. Tell us about some of those. Then we'll talk about your favorites and the some of that are most challenging.
Okay, yeah. So I love the obstacles that are here. They're the most unique. So I'm standing here with you, I'm looking at an obstacle right in front of us, which is the culvert crawl, right? You're literally crawling through a culvert underneath the roadway, right? That never happens in your life. Your dog may not be used to ever doing this. But I'm going to tell you that if you can get your dog to work with you as a team and go through there, you're going to have so much fun. You're on your hands and knees. You're crawling through there. We climbed over 2 buses. We did cement. What do you call those? Like the things they block the road with. Oh, my gosh. We went over a pickup truck. We crawled through mud. Can I say that again? We crawled through mud again. I slipped and fell in mud again. There was a lot of mud. There's no way to say that. Tires, a wall of tires, tires everywhere. I have to say, my dog was a beast. I mean, listen, the way to be successful in this kind of a race is to let your dog show you what the line is. Stop trying to think for your dog. They're going to go the easiest way through. Just let them do that for you, right? So that's my recommendation to everyone. If you want to try something like this, is trust your dog. You know.
And what is your favorite if you have one? What is the favorite obstacle?
Oh, gosh. My favorite? That's a toughie. I would say going over the cars. When in your life do you have carpet over cars and you and your dog jump up over top and you stand on the roof of a car and you feel like you have accomplished the world?
I love it. Okay, so we are about done here, but I asked my guests all the same questions. I did not give you these ahead of time, so hopefully I'm not putting you too on the spot. But the first one is called Frost Nip.
Okay.
And it is your most humbling or most embarrassing experience in the outdoors, with or without your dog.
Well, that's funny. So the most embarrassing thing that I could say is probably a quarter mile from getting to my car on a run one day in the trail. She was pulling forward just enough. I was off balance just enough, and down I went. Now, I want you to imagine this. Not only did I go down, but my pockets exploded.
Oh, my goodness.
So all of my personal items went all over the trail, right? Ego hurt more than anything else. So my dog is at the end of the leash looking at me like, oh, my goodness, you're so embarrassing. Is this going to be long? Like, what's happened? And I'm collecting my phone, I'm collecting my keys, I'm collecting everything and putting them back in my pockets, my water bottle. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, I know 1,000 people just saw me do this. Like, right? Like, I just did this in front of everyone, right? I splatted. Like, it was not even a funny thing. So there you go. So it's not whether you will fall or not. You will. It's when.
So the next one is about gear. What is your favorite piece of gear that you always have with you other than your phone?
Oh, gosh. I would say my nonstop gear. I have a belt, a harness, and a harness for the dog, because you never know where you can pull over and you can go on a nice walk or a hike or something. And I prefer to have both my hands free. So I put her around my waist. So that's always in the truck.
All right. The next one is, what is your favorite trail snack? What are you eating before a run? What's your favorite?
I would say some kind of granola bar or a protein bar or something like that. Most of them taste like dirt. I won't lie. The better they are for you, the more dirt-like they are. But they're good because you don't bonk. You know, you're out on the trail and you can go and you bring water and it's an easy way that you can carry it, you know. Listen, I would bring a whole sub sandwich if I could. If I could figure out how to carry it, I would, because I'm very pro food. But nutrition bar is usually where I go with it.
You can probably hear the music in the background for folks that are listening to the podcast. What are you listening to before a run? Do you have a walk-up song, if you will? Who's your favorite artist?
Oh, gosh. That's hard to say. I tend to I tend to get really moved by, you know, 1970s hits, believe it or not. But I would say September, that was, you know, that's probably my one of my faves. It gets me, you know, in the groove and going. And then later, I, you know, it all depends. I really run the gamut on music. So it all depends on where my head's at that day, what kind of inspiration I really need. Luce could care less. She would prefer me not listen to anything, you know, except for The Wild. But every now and again, I play something inspirational. Not like the Rocky theme or anything.
There you go.
So the next one is, do you have a favorite book or podcast?
Ah, well, I will have Mushrooms Magazine is my favorite podcast. I like that. I haven't been listening. I not to any. I just haven't been. But I have a couple of favorite books that I read. Most of them are on nutrition, so they probably wouldn't interest anyone here listening because I go down that rabbit hole. But I like to read up on homeopathy. I like to read up on Chinese medicine. I like to read on those kind of things. So I wish I was not reading for work. I like to pick up a book that's not work related every now and again.
All right.
But it's mostly workbooks.
Okay, and the last one is, how can folks find you? Are you on social media, Instagram, whatever? Where would you like to share?
I am, yeah. So you can look up Harness Canicular. That's my company. It is about the dog star, Sirius, you know, constellation in the sky. So if you don't know the history of Harness Canicular, Canicular is the part of the dog star. I am on Facebook. Jennifer Carter, you can look me up personally if you want. I'm on Facebook. And look for Luce. Usually she and I are on together in the pictures. But yeah, and I have a website for my work, which is www.harnesscanicular.dog.
Excellent. Jennifer Carter from Virginia here at the One World Obstacle Run, I believe it's called,
yes.
Right? So Jennifer, it was my pleasure seeing you here, and good luck in your next adventure with Luce.
Thank you so much. This has been an honor. It's great to meet you.
And for that, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Got a dog training problem? There's a podcast for that to stay updated on everything dogs do on Dog Works Radio, a podcast hosted by master dog trainers and business coaches Robert and Michelle Forteau. Every week, they will introduce you to pet professionals with unique insights on dogs in the veterinary world, in books and films, and working with canines. The podcast also answers questions like how long does it take to train a puppy or what are the different training styles? Get some surprising answers on Dog Works Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.